those who say that they know him must walk as he walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know him must walk as he walked. He is the way and the truth, and in him ends the life. If we obey his word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in him is the life. If we obey his word, then we walk in the light. We don't keep his word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and him is the life. If we obey his word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in him is the life. If we obey his word, then we walk in the light. Walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in him is the life. If we obey his word, then we walk in the light.
Well. All strangely silent out there this morning. Not silent, but very quiet. Just Don, you and I here in the chat this morning. A little unusual, but who knows what's going on with technology. That's all right. We're gonna just press on. We're recording. We're live. And we have all four streams that are running out there. So we're going to keep right on going here this morning. And we're Luke chapter 18. We are the third part now, working part three of Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to work our way through this passage and see what Jesus has to say, see what some of the encounters are, and go from there. So Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 31, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We're going up to Jerusalem." Now, again, depending on where you're looking from, you would say, why is he saying going up? Now, the fact is he probably was just outside of Jerusalem. And you could say, why is he saying up? It's really more down. Well, they're not looking at north, south, east, west. Usually it was up, meaning the fact that they were going to be going up because Jerusalem was on a hill. Now, a lot of things are on hills in Israel. If you go there or get the chance to take even a tour. One of my favorites is Holy Land Sites, HolyLandSites. And I don't remember if it's .org, but on YouTube, you can. Dr. Todd Fink has all kinds of videos of the Holy Land, and if you have time and want to do some touring that way, you can certainly do that, and be listening for opportunities to perhaps get to go sometime in the year 2025. we'll hope that that can happen. So, so Jesus said, picking this back up, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. Now, just that one sentence, what some were doing were picking and choosing what was written. They didn't want to look at the whole of what was written. They only wanted to look at what was written about the bringing of the kingdom. And even the disciples still weren't quite getting it yet, what he was about to tell them here in just a moment. Excuse me. But everything written by the prophets will be fulfilled. And the thought that he's going to overthrow the Roman government, they're still thinking that he's going to set himself up as king. And somehow, by all of his power and all of his miraculous abilities, excuse me just a second. Had to cough there. swallowed wrong. They're still thinking he's going to set up this earthly kingdom. And yet he continues on in verse 32 and says, he will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again. I mean, how do you get any more clear than that? He is being abundantly clear about what he's saying. Now, we look back through the lens of history, and we understand it. We look back through the lens of history, and all that's been recorded in the Gospels and the Epistles and Book of Revelation, and then 2,000 years of church history, and makes sense to us. Why didn't they get it? They just couldn't see it yet. Not at all. They were still wrapped up in this idea of this earthly kingdom, even though this is now the third time Jesus is saying to them that the Son of Man will be killed, flogged, spit upon, insulted, mocked. But as it says here in verse 34, they still did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. And I just need to stop for a moment on this phrase, the meaning was hidden from them. Sometimes we look around at people at the world, and it's like, why don't they get it? Why don't they get the message of Christianity? There is a veiling, a hiding that takes place. Or has taken place. Satan has blinded the minds and blinded the eyes of unbelievers that they will not see the truth. I'm going to look up a passage here, but I don't remember exactly where I want to look. So I'm going to do a little search real quick here. Okay, yes. I was close. Getting the right book. I'm going to take you to another book here for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me just begin at verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. And here's the idea of this veiling. They can't see. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants. For Jesus' sake, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That whole section kind of speaks about the understanding, gaining the light, being able to understand, but particularly in verse 4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan is blinding the minds of people so they cannot see it. And that's the problem. Even the disciples, there was a certain amount of veiling taking place. And there's maybe two different types of veiling that I want to talk about here briefly. And one type of veiling is the veiling that keeps unbelievers from being able to understand the gospel. But then also there is a veiling within us as believers at times when we're not ready to receive something. The Lord doesn't show us the full hand. He doesn't show us all the details. He doesn't show us all the facts and factors until we're ready for it. Because here you see in verse 34, it speaks of back in Luke chapter 18, the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. Now, was it Satan hiding it from them? Was it the Lord hiding it from them? The Lord certainly had the ability to peel off from their eyes the blinders, but perhaps they were not quite ready to receive it yet. Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see, so that they cannot understand. And that's why we say, don't you get it? Well, sometimes the same is true in the lives of believers, that the Lord doesn't reveal things to us until we're ready, until we have grown, until we have come to the place of being ready to understand. He will show us more. And that's why it's important that we keep growing. That's why it's important that we keep digging in. That's why it's important that we keep searching and looking and understanding the scriptures and listening to podcasts and worshiping the Lord and being prayerful and reading books and all those things, so that we are and being obedient as well. It doesn't do any good to listen to podcasts or read books or any of those things and then not obey what it is that we are shown. We need to obey what it is that we have been shown. Verse 34, the meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. They still didn't quite get it, but they will get it. We're now within about 2 weeks, within 2 weeks of when Jesus will be crucified. That's about where we are as well. Literally today, within about 2 weeks, all the events will take place that will lead to the crucifixion of Christ in about 2 weeks. And so this is within 2 weeks of the crucifixion when Jesus is now saying this to them. Continuing on, we read about this blind beggar. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him, and when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. So much in this section to consider. Approaching Jericho. Jericho is, at least it calls itself, the oldest city on earth. It is a very dry city. It's a city located between Jerusalem, kind of a little bit north, northeast of Jerusalem, but it's located more closer to the Dead Sea area. And it's kind of a parched area. So a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Why is he begging? He couldn't work. They didn't have all the mechanisms that we have in our day to help somebody be able to work. So all he could do was beg for a little bit of money. So that's what he was doing what he did every day, sitting there by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what's happening, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, apparently he had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, Jesus has been on the scene now for about 3 years, and probably three plus years, actually. And so Jesus is famous. There's not paparazzi per se, like we have in our day, but the word of Jesus had spread, and he had heard about the miracles that Jesus could do. And so he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, Jesus, I want to see. Give me my sight. No. His response to Jesus says something. And Walter's catching on to it in the comments already. He doesn't say, hey, Jesus, can you help me to be able to see? Can you heal me? He calls out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This blind beggar, the question he's asking, have mercy, please, have mercy on me. Now, what's so important about this is the fact that he's showing his humility. He's showing that he doesn't necessarily think that he is worthy of getting all the great regard that that maybe some people would think. He wasn't demanding his way with Jesus. He knew maybe he didn't deserve it. So he's calling out for mercy. That should be our first approach at God, is for his mercy. Our first approach to God should be, I don't deserve it. Our first approach to God should be one of confession. There's a prayer formula that sometimes is used. It's called the ACTS prayer formula: adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. There are two parts of that that are all about the praise of God, adoration and thanksgiving. The center part of that is confession, confessing our needs, confessing our sins, confessing our faults, confessing our failures, getting ourselves right with God. And then the last part, finally coming to God and asking God for what it is that we believe that we need. This man is asking for mercy. If we would spend more time in the worship of God, if we would spend more time in confession before God, what might God do? Oftentimes, we just want to live our lives the way we want to live our lives without regard for the worship of God, without regard for the praise of God, without regard for the thanksgiving to God for all that God has already done. And what do? We just start demanding things of God, and we see so little sometimes from God because maybe our hearts aren't quite right yet. The people around this man were asking, were telling. It says, those who led him or led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. Now, that could be the disciples because they could have been the ones leading the way. It could have been the people around the man, leading the way of the man to see Jesus. Doesn't matter. Both, whether it was the disciples or those leading the man to see Jesus, they were rebuking the guy and saying, be quiet. But notice, it doesn't say that he said all the more. Notice what it says in verse 39. He shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Now, before we get into Jesus' response, I just want us to think a little bit more about how he shouted all the more. Kind of taking this into our own lives, there are people who would want to silence us. People who would say, shh, That was my parents when I was a kid. Would you stop talking about Jesus in the household? If you don't stop talking about Jesus and all this Jesus stuff, we're going to kick you out of the house. I mean, that was literally a conversation that took place in my household when I was a teenager. I did not grow up in a Christian home or have Christian parents, but I read my Bible all the time. I listened to Christian music and radio all the time. I went to church as often as I could. And remember, I grew up on a dairy farm, so that meant I had barn chores that had to get done first, but I got them done so I could go to church and be a part of what was going on there. And I went to my friend's house where we studied the Bible at their kitchen table every night. And people around me would have told me, be quiet. May we be people. I think of some of you in worship. There's some that are part of our, especially our morning crew here, who are expressive in worship. And there would be people to say, they just distract me, or they just, I would say, don't be silent. Keep on worshiping God with all you are worth. Don't let anybody silence you, believer, non-believer. Be in love with Jesus. Stand for Jesus. Praise Jesus. Worship Jesus. Call out to Jesus. Don't let your voice be silenced by those around you, believer or unbeliever. Verse 40 told us that Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. I mean, he got Jesus' attention. And so when the man came near, Jesus asked him, as it says here, what do you want me to do for you? And the man replies, Lord, I want to see. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Now this is taking place in Jericho. The Lord perhaps today would say to you and to me, what do you want me to do for you? I would say to the Lord today, Lord, I would like you to ask me that question. Lord, I would like to be in a place where you would be saying to me, what do you want me to do for you? And I know exactly what I would be asking of the Lord. And what I've been asking the Lord to do, and I haven't seen the answer yet. So I'm like some of you, perhaps. I am like you, waiting, hanging on, watching for the Lord to answer. Some of you also are raising funds for a mission trip to Mexico. And I know that. I'm raising funds for our support and for what we do globally. And yesterday I had a fantastic meeting with a brother in India, and I really need to get there to see what they're doing, to see how they're doing what they're doing among the Banjara people in Mumbai, in that area, and others in India, other groups, so I can bring what I learned there back and see how we make application here in the States, and as well be of encouragement to them and support them in what they're doing. Lord, it's my prayer today, and I'm not done with the broadcast yet, folks, but Lord, it's my prayer today that you would ask each of us, what do you want me to do for you? Father, may we hear you whisper that to us. For some, maybe it's loneliness. For some, maybe it's bills. For some, maybe it's money to advance the cause. For some, maybe it's healing of a relationship. For some, maybe it's healing of the physical body. Lord, whatever it is that my listeners, whether they're live right now or listening at a later time, may we hear you whisper into our soul, what do you want me to do for you? And may we have our response, Lord, I want. And right now, friends, I just encourage you, say that to the Lord. Tell him what it is that you're wanting. Let's corporately, just from wherever you're listening today, if you're driving in your car and it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, tell the Lord what it is that you want. I know what I'm asking for. Notice Jesus' response. Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Lord, it's my prayer today for my friends that as we pray this prayer, that we would experience. I'm praying for the encouragement of my friends. I'm praying for my own encouragement. Lord, this has been weighty. I've not been sleeping at night. And Lord, I pray that that you would be responsive to our prayers. Whatever each of my friends has just prayed. Verse 42 said, immediately you said to the man, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Lord, would you strengthen our weak faith? That we would trust you more, that we would obey you better, that we might receive from you the things that you are able to give. Verse 43 says, and immediately the man received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Lord, it's our prayer. It is our prayer that we would receive from you, that you would help us to be better followers of you, that you would cause us in the midst of the assembly to give praise to you, that we would not hold back, that we wouldn't be thinking, what's somebody around me thinking? What are the words on the screen? Is the guitar in tune? Their voice is too loud? Any of those things, Lord, help us rather to be in a place where we praise you as a result of all that you've done. And that, Lord, our testimony would be something that would cause others to praise you as well, as it said in verse 43. The people saw it, they also praised God. Lord, may your work in our lives cause praise among other people. We come to you, we cry out to you, and we say, as the blind man said, Lord, have mercy on us. You know our sins. You know our anger. You know our lust. You know our impatience. You know our unkindness. You know the words that we speak, or the words that we think, or the words that we post on Facebook. You know any of that. Lord, have mercy on us. Help us to change our ways that would be more like Jesus. But Lord, have mercy on us and hear our prayer. I pray that you would do incredible things in response to this broadcast today in my life, in all my listeners' lives, Lord, that we would be able to come together and say, this is how the Lord has answered my prayers. We want to see you work. We need to see you work. Lord, have mercy. Hear our prayers. Answer our prayers, that we might praise you in silent, that we might praise you in the assembly, and that others would glorify you as well. Lord, have mercy. And Lord, hear our prayers. Strengthen our faith. And we ask that you would give us the things that we're asking from hearts of humility, that we might glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, keep on praying. Keep on being humble. Keep on trusting. Have a great day.